Let's just sort of talk about artificial intelligence in general, and then we can get into this Daniel Meisler article, Meisler, Six Phases of the Post-GPT World. And this is an interesting thing, Tom. What we've come here now to is yet another thing that in the Bible prophecy community I think is going to divide people, because you're going to get a lot of people, as we look at what's going on with AI and the developments in the speed. The other recently, Tucker Carlson did an interview with Elon Musk. It was on Monday, April 17th on his show. I would recommend everybody go and watch that. And Elon's involved in this. He was one of the founders of a company called OpenAI with Sam Altman. It was originally set up as a not-for-profit, but Altman sort of started shifting it, did shift it over towards a profit-making stage, and Elon got upset and left. So Sam has taken it, and now Elon has come out with some pretty stunning statements. In the interview with Tucker Carlson, he just said, you know, this is pretty dangerous stuff that we're dealing with, and the risk is the end of human civilization, which is, you know, very apocalyptic, very end time sort of stuff. Now, I'll admit, Tom, I'm sure you get it too. I get people who write to me and say, oh, no. AI, it's not that serious. It's not that bad. It's not really that smart. It learns from itself, and eventually it degenerates into gibberish. I haven't seen that yet. And I don't know that it's just learning from itself. They keep adding things to it that it's learning from. And as you know, I was in Israel for the Christian Media Summit in December. And that was probably about December 12th or so. We had a meeting with Jonathan Medved, who's a wealthy business startup guy, venture capitalist, you know, big on going to the United Arab Emirates and Saudi Arabia. He'd just gotten back from speaking at Saudi Arabia at one of their conferences. And he told, said, you, have you seen this ChatGPT-4, which was, he said it rolled out the end of November, and in the first week it got 1 million downloads. Well, it hit about 130 million by within a month. It's the fastest rollout of any app in history. And there are some things that it does that are amazing, that are helpful, that I think would make it things better for humanity. For example, one of the things they say with ChatGPT-4, and then now another thing called GBT-4, which is a sort of a little bit different organization, or the way it learns, or what it learns from its base of information, is it might get rid of all of 60% of the lawyers. You know, and immediately people say, yay, we're getting rid of the lawyers. That's an answer to prayer. But it's going to get rid of a lot of people. There was a study, I think I talked about it some in my update on April 16th, which I thought was one of the darkest updates I've ever done, in terms of just the crushing weight of information. Goldman Sachs came out with a report leading up to tax day. And in that report, they said that, the GPT-4, this is just GPT-4. This is not the follow-on, that the way this was developing, that it would probably do away with 300 million jobs around the world. That's going to have a huge impact on society. So I'm trying to grasp my head around this. Like, you know, we don't know when the Lord's coming back exactly. I think we have some ideas, and as we get closer, we'll have a better idea. But, you know, so let's say it's 10 or 15 years, just, you know, as a hypothetical. And by the way, by saying that, I don't mean that it will be 10 or 15 years.
Isn't it funny you always have to throw that disclaimer?
I know. Well, when I talk about, you know, I talk a lot about demographics because I find it a very fascinating study. And what we're going, by the way, just as a sidebar, this is what lawyers do when they want to go down a rabbit hole. We say, just a sidebar here. And we, by the way, when you have a trial with a judge and he says, counsel, could I have a sidebar? And I remember one time we went up, it was a big trial, you know, multi-billion dollar securities fraud case, and the judge said, I have to go to the bathroom. Can we take a break? You know, he said, I've ate something last night. It's just kind of funny because it's not always talking about great legal issues when you get up there. But the sidebar to all of this is what we're living in this demographic period. This is one of the convergence things where populations are declining all over the world. And the question will be how quickly. So you will see China says by 2050, they want to be the most dominant economy and country in the world. That's their goal. But the problem is they had that stupid one-child policy. Mm-hmm. Was a two-child policy, then became a one-child policy. And now they're offering people money to have a lot of kids, but it's too late. It's too late for them to turn it around. So by most estimates, by 2050, so that's, we're 20 years, a little over 20 years from now. China will be half the population it is today. Now factor that in. So what does that do? Well, in the immediate term, they're still a huge country. You know, they've been passed by India now in population. But think of the geopolitical implications of China losing that. And they're the crime families that run China, they want to leave a legacy. So are they going to do something like take Taiwan sooner than we think? Mm-hmm. Because we know that demographically, we're going to have trouble doing that. And it's interesting when you look at the demographics of India and China, there was a study out that was saying that by 2050, again, I don't think we make it to 2050 necessarily, but by 2050, China and India will have 200 million men in their populations that have no chance for a wife.
Yeah.
Because of sex selection abortions in India and one child policy, which favored males in China. Well, what do you do with 200 million men that don't have a potentiality of a wife? Well, they make pretty good candidates for a military. And I'm just saying the number that they've come up with is 150 to 200 million. Which is kind of an interesting number. And, you know, we know that there's that number in Revelation, but I'm not sure that's what it's talking about, but it's just it's an interesting fact. So we have all of these convergence of all these things. So now we throw in artificial intelligence on top of this and the development. So there was an open letter issued by guys, the Human Future or Future Life Institute or something like that. That was started by Elon Musk. It also involves Yuval Noah Harari and some others. And they came out and said, I think one of the co-founders of Apple, Steve Wozniak, joined in on the open letter. It's now been signed by like 50,000 scientists and tech people. And it said, we need to put a moratorium on going beyond GPT-4. So ChatGPT comes out in November. Mm-hmm. GPT-4 is rolled out in March. And GPT-4 is at least 100 times more powerful than ChatGPT. Yeah.
And what's coming after this is even much more profound.
Well, so the numbers are that the knowledge base of these artificial intelligence models doubles what every 6 months, every 4 months? No,
no,
every 48 hours.
Yeah. It's much fast. It's incredibly fast.
So they say that in 48 hours, it advances as much as the smartphones did from 2007 to 2018.
That's just amazing.
So that means like, so let's say that somebody looks at this a month down the road. Everything's increased exponentially it's doubled every 48 hours for 15 times in a month.
Yeah.
So GPT-4 and what it did was it didn't just have the base of information like through 2021, like ChatGPT did. It essentially drug in all of the internet. And to think at how powerful this stuff is. So there are very complicated the Lord created an incredibly complex universe. He spoke it into existence. This blows my mind when I think about things like this. And the sequencing of proteins. So they say that a PhD scientist to sequence one protein takes about 5 years. They were able to sequence all of the proteins, and I don't know how many there are, 200,000 that are involved in life.
I think it's 200 million.
200 million, you're right.
Yeah.
And they did it in like, once they got the structure set up, what would have taken PhD scientists a billion human work years to accomplish, they did in like 15 or 20 seconds.
Yeah.
How is this even possible?
Well, I look at it, it's really amazing. I want to comment on just a couple of things, if you don't mind.
Sure.
One of them is that you mentioned the jobs are going to be lost, which I want to come back to in a minute, because the immediate future, it looks like it's not just jobs. It's going to be, you mentioned attorneys. It's going to be the jobs that people went to school for, got their masters, got their doctorates. Well, those are the jobs that look like they're going to be disappearing the soonest. Engineers at Google, those types of things. So I want to come back to that. I also want to mention this. This is my disclaimer. I do not believe Revelation chapter 9, the 200 million army is a group of men. That's me. I know a lot of our colleagues believe otherwise. I just believe they're wrong for various reasons. But with that, check this out, John. There's this article written by this gentleman, his name's Matt Ward, in 2018. And the article was titled The Technological Tipping Point. I never forgot it, because in it, he had such great foresight. I've always loved reading his articles. He only writes once or twice a year that I can find anything. But he says this is what he said in the beginning. It's no overstatement to say that we stand on the brink of a technological revolution that's going to change our world forever. The technological transformation is happening right now. Again, this is 2018, and we will see significant change occur, not over the next couple of decades, but within the next couple of years. Very few people in today's busy world are aware of just how much their lives are about to change and how unavoidable and irrevocable this change is going to be. And then he references he starts going into 2022 and 2023. He says within the next 5 years, this is what you'll see. He talks about Elon Musk. He gets into AI, and then he brought this out. And again, I just find it so interesting, because he's talking about this 5 years back, and he says that jobs are going to be lost. And he says Elon Musk and others are looking at that, saying we have to have a plan together, because the jobs are going to be lost are the jobs that involve those who have knowledge. And he estimated back in 2018, more than 300 million jobs are going to be lost. Now, he may have been projecting over a period of 10 years or something. I don't know. But then he brought up this point, which I think is really interesting. He says, I've said it before that the technology revealed in Revelation is the technology of now, not circa 2040. The tribulation isn't going to be in 20 years' time. It's going to be soon. We are about to reach a technological tipping point, one that nobody on this earth is going to escape from. And, you know, you said all these people that have signed on to this letter, including Elon Musk, Steve Wozniak, even Yuval Harari. I didn't know Yuval Harari signed on that letter too, but that's what that letter is about, isn't it? It's like, look, we've reached this tipping point, and we're going over to the edge where we cannot come back from.
Yeah. And you know, Musk is an interesting guy, because he signs on to this letter, but within a week, he's announced, it was in the Financial Times of London, he's got a startup out there to sort of recreate what they were doing at OpenAI. And look, I think he's a tool of the CCP, the Chinese Communist Party, and the crime families, the really five powerful families that run China. that my understanding is are more wealthy than the Saudis. And this world, I'm just telling you, is I don't know how it goes on long. I don't know how the Lord can't step in and intervene and say, okay, enough. You guys are absolutely lost the plot. And it's happened so quickly. So Goldman Sachs is interesting. That guy wrote in 2018, 300 million jobs. Now Goldman Sachs comes out with a research report and they say 300 million jobs could be affected by artificial intelligence in the near term. So we have the protein sequencing that they did, a billion years of PhD scientists working is done in 15 seconds.
That's just truly, I saw that report too.
And they say, well, this is being done for the benefit of humanity. Okay. Maybe it is, but then what do you do with it? So on April 16th in my update, I called it, Welcome to the New World Disorder. And I talked about some of that. There was a very interesting little animated short video that I came across on YouTube. You can find it. It's called Beyond the Reset. Have you seen this thing?
Yes, I have. I watched it about a week ago. That is kind of frightening. That video.
Well, I know what a lot of those 300 million people will be doing. They'll be working in, you know, a bug protein processing plants, making something, some kind of food for people to eat in the concentration camps. And I had some people react very angrily to me using some clips from that.
Really?
There's one where he's standing there and he's got a mask that's not covering his nose. And here comes a drone up and says, it hits him with a light, you know, like a charge, and he kind of gets knocked on his rear end and it says, mask up. And it just,
yeah.
You know, mask over nose or something like that. And I don't think it's too far off. I haven't been able to find the clip. I send messages to myself all the time. So what I ought to do instead of doing an update is just share my private message feed where I'm texting messages and links to articles to myself. And I found a Twitter thread where a guy had gone through and looked at artificial intelligence generated art and videos. Now I did use a video on April 16th, which was sort of like a play. It was a totally artificial intelligence generated movie. The scenes, everything. Now, you know, it drew from scenes that are out there, but it had Joe Biden saying the aliens have invaded and don't worry about it. We're taking care of it. And then it had, you know, a Trump saying, yeah, I told you something like this was going to happen. And they had the spacecraft and they were sort of like giant skinny pyramids flying around Earth and showed the universe and things happening on the planet and disruption and unrest. This is all done by AI. This is not done by, and for a lawyer's standpoint, it raises a lot of interesting questions is who owns the copyright to that stuff? You know, and I'm going to tell you, you're going to start seeing, I think, pastors, Bible prophecy guys that are using GPT to generate, slides and charts and graphs. And I mean, it's very tempting to do.
Yeah. And probably messages too.
So 60 Minutes on April 16th also did a thing on artificial intelligence. And Scott Pelley said, I asked it to summarize the New Testament. And he said it did in 17 seconds. It did it in 3 seconds and 17 words. And it was pretty accurate.
I saw that. I watched the 60 Minutes one. It was really accurate in the summary of the New Testament. I thought, wow, I was expecting something much more non-correct when it came to the Bible, but it did.
Well, but here's the problem though, Tom, is because the next part of his interview with what's the guy's name? Sergio Sanchez Picai or whatever.
From Google?
The CEO of Google. And he was saying, well, you know, we do have these things where there are a couple problems we've noticed that it will give us, like it cited this research project And it gave him five titles of books that don't even exist as sources.
Completely made up the books. I remember that part. Completely made them up. Fabricated books out of thin air.
Right. And then he said, so, and then it's sort of like it lies to us, you know, in some of this. So they call it hallucinations. And Scott Pelley, the interviewer, said, well, what do you do about it? He goes, well, we're having high level meetings about this. Everybody knows that this is a problem. I was, wait a minute. So you've unleashed this thing on humanity.
Yeah.
And now it's doing things you don't understand and you can't explain. So there were the hallucinations, and then there was like emergent abilities, or what I think they called emergent abilities. For example, they gave us a few pages of Bengali from Bangladesh, the native language in Bangladesh. So it was in that text and script and everything. And it like taught itself how to read everything in the Bengali language almost immediately. And he says, yeah, that there are these emergent things, and we really don't understand how that's happening. Well, what if this is somebody's throwing stuff in there to do it on the backside? So this fantasy that Elon Musk has at the one time starting another company to do it and saying, well, we need to have a 6-month moratorium. There's no moratorium. Okay. This is nothing's stopping this. It's just moving forward at a rapid pace. And I'll admit to you, if it doesn't scare the pants off of you, you should question whether you're still breathing. Yep. Because it's bad.
And you know, John, you think of this, okay, with technology, but then you start looking at certain other events over the last few years. The problem is people who work in labs, people who work in Silicon Valley, people who, wherever it is, God said it in the Old Testament, the heart of man is deceitful and wicked, who can know it? Right. So man, apart from God, it's impossible for a man to go from bad to good. Man can only go from bad, from worse to worser, if there is such a word. I mean, that's the only direction. So as you mentioned, regardless of what Elon Musk says, this cat's out of the bag. We've crossed the tipping point, and they can sign on to everything, but all it takes is one person to say, even if they signed on to this agreement, this moratorium, all it takes is one person to say, well, wait a minute. If I don't do it, I don't trust him. He's going to do it. Then he's going to have the upper hand on everybody else.
And so that's why Eli Ludkowsky, who was one of the founders of the Singularity Institute, which is now under, I think, is part of Google, with Ray Kurzweil. And he comes out and he says, listen, if they don't follow the moratorium, then we need to do airstrikes to take out their hardware to stop them. Which is kind of an interesting thing. Like, and some people will say, well, he's just a scaredy cat, but I'm looking at what it did. I mean, think you went to school to become a PhD biologist, mm-hmm. protein specialist. Okay. Now I can remember I had a doctor friend at a church we used to go to, and he had discovered how a nerve work, what the chemical process was. And he said, I worked on it for years and I figured it out. And it was like, I'm the first human to ever figure this out, how this wonderful design of God worked. But now we have machines that could probably do it in 5 seconds. It's weird. You know, so I have Revelation 13 open, and I don't know what artificial intelligence plays in all this, but you know, we always talk about the mark of the beast. I mean, that's sort of a staple of Bible prophecy conferences. But the one thing that we don't talk about that much, I don't think, is the follow-on verse in Revelation 13:15. And it was allowed to give breath to the image of the beast, so that the image of the beast might even speak and might cause those who would not worship the image of the beast to be slain. Mm-hmm. And so now we see this AI is generating images, videos, making up text, making up books, you know, citing them as sources that don't exist. And so now you can understand is, I mean, when I was a kid, we took the proverbial Midwest family vacation, you know, six people on a Chrysler, with no air conditioning driving to California in late July and early August across the deserts. And we went to Disneyland and they had this statue of this,
Mr. Lincoln
robot. Lincoln got up and talked. This was the first one that just come out. This is 1965. And we were like, oh, you know, now you could kind of get an idea about the image of the bees, but we're like 50, almost 60 years beyond that. And this stuff is growing exponentially in what it can do.
I got a comment. I remember the incredible moments with Mr. Lincoln. And I remember reading a Bible commentary of some sort, probably in the 1980s, and somebody had brought that up from Disneyland as they were talking about the image of the beast. But we are so far beyond that. And also, just as you're talking about this, and I've wondered about the same passage, the way technology is going, the way I've read Revelation 13 with the image of the beast in the past is this image will be profound. It's getting to the point with technology now where it's not going to be that profound because we're talking about it, you know, whether it be 60 Minutes or CNN or Tucker Carlson or YouTube, people are talking about what AI is doing, which leads me to believe how rapidly everything is coming. And, you know, you said some of the things you spoke about on that April 16th message yours were frightening. I'll tell you how frightening they were, John. I had all kinds of your people email me your video to watch, and I had a few people who said they were crying and they couldn't get through the whole thing. So I've yet to watch it. So I'm going to, but you know, you start connecting the dots of where this is going. You face reality. Listen, our hope is in Jesus Christ. And when you have Elon Musk, Yuval Noah Harari, Steve Wozniak, the rest of these people in the tech world that are saying, this is the direction it's going. They're actually giving warnings of the direction it's going to go. But the problem is, again, the heart of man is deceitful and wicked. So I can't remember if it was Elon Musk or who it was, but, it might have been that 60 Minutes interview with the CEO of Google saying, well, it could be good or it could be bad. It's all going to be dependent upon, how this thing gets programmed, but it sounds like the programming, I mean, the Google engineers are going to be taken over by AI.
Yeah. And a lot of them, you know, reports are that a lot of people have quit Google because they're like, you guys, you unleash this thing and you don't know what to do and we don't want any part of it. You know, I guess we're going to go home and build our own bunker.
Yeah. No kidding.
So we started out talking about this article by David Meisler over at, DanielMeisler.com, the six phases of the post GPT world. And it's kind of interesting what you just said about programming because he said, first it's going to hit the companies. That's the first phase. Then it's going to hit and it's going to get the content. It's going to get all their knowledge and information. You know, right now they're only going out and getting publicly available information, like a database of information through 2021, or now it's going out to the internet. What happens when it starts mining all the information in these data farms? And I talk about it all the time. It creeps me out that 20 minutes from my house, 15, 20 minutes from my house are these giant Facebook server farms. And they have a number of these around the country. These are six buildings that are like the size of the Empire State Building laying on their sides in a field, used to be a farm. And they spent $2 billion on these buildings. By the way, they're refurbishing the ones they opened in 2019 because they're obsolete. It's just our data. It's the little kitty pictures and cute videos you put on Facebook. And they have collected all of this stuff and stored it. And it's analyzed and being analyzed. Now you're going to apply artificial intelligence terms to it. And across the street from Facebook, Google spending $4 billion building server farms here in the Columbus, Ohio area. And so what Meisler says is an article, it's going to get the business information. Companies become custom models and, you know, sources, and then it's going to be humans. And if they're going to ingest the content of business, they're going to ingest the content of humans. And so what if they get pictures? Tom, you've got videos on the internet. I've got videos on the internet. How long is it going to be till we have to spend a lot of our time saying, no, 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 I didn't say that. That's not what I said.
Not going to be long, John. It's really not going to be long, I don't think.
Yeah,
and you can also take down a political opponent. Whoever controls this thing, whoever gets to the top, it can control pretty much anything. They control the information, have all the access to the, all the data. You know, people think they're going to escape this. I mean, looking at this, this is alarming what's coming.
So then Meisler goes on and says, so then you're going to have AI assistants. So this is sort of like, remember when Microsoft Office came out with that stupid little thing called Clippy or whatever it was, looked like a paper clip, used to run around your documents. And yeah, it was annoying as all get out. You know, if you could figure out a way to shoot it with anti artificial intelligence gun, maybe that's we get an anti AI gun, but this is Clippy on steroids, this stuff that's going to happen. And Microsoft, look, they invested $10 billion in OpenAI, and do you think they're going to walk away from their investment? And no company's going to walk away and say, well, we're not going to do this, because if they're publicly traded, they'll get, their executives will get fired for not participating in this and trying to make it better. And then you've got countries that are going, like Russia and China, are going to go after it. You know, and I think in Ukraine actually did better in the war. They were able to increase the effectiveness of parts of their military by a factor of 20 using artificial intelligence and technology. But so everybody's going to do this, you know, and so you begin to understand sort of how an antichrist could come in, take down these kings. And I'm not so sure. I've heard some guys out of Prophecy Watchers suggest that other places that maybe the 10 kings, at least some of them, are big tech companies, because some of them are far more wealthy than countries by far.
What do you think they are? Just out of curiosity. I know this is a side, I know this is a sidebar and you're an attorney, but what's your thoughts on the 10 kings?
You know, I always put things into sort of baskets of possibilities. So, you know, like, the Antichrist beast kingdom is here. The final Babylon is one of these possibilities. And so I don't discount that possibility anymore, because that it could be tech companies or a mix of tech companies and geopolitical entities, because they control so much information. They control the information. What was it Yuval Harari said in 2018 at the World Economic Forum at Davos? He said the future of control, it used to be the ones who owned the land were in the means of production in the industrial age were the huge titans. In our time, it will be the one who controls the data. Mm-hmm. And remember, he is also the guy who in 2015 went to a talk. It's called Google Talks. You can find it on the internet. He went to Google. And he said, I love coming to Silicon Valley because I can see my good friend Fred or whatever his name is over here. But I love coming to Silicon Valley because it is here. And this is a direct quote. I've played it many times, that the religions that will control the world in the 21st century are being created. That ought to look, I'm not scared about this. You know, it may be that somewhere somebody's got a book that says, okay, you know, 2025, Haller's out of here. We got to get rid of him. You know, he said some things and people are watching him, and he might have influenced some people. So he's done by 2025. And you know what? I'm okay with that. You know, I'll be 71 by then and I've lived a good life and I know where I'm going when it's over. But there are a lot of people who are going to be going somewhere and it'll be over. I think on April 16th, Tom, what upset a lot of people about my video was that Beyond the Reset video, I played about a 3-minute clip of it just because I didn't think people would be able to stomach it beyond that. And probably that was too much. But I also played a video. There's all these attacks going on, you know, train derailments, explosions, food processing facilities. And so what had happened was there was an explosion at a dairy farm. Yeah. And I remember the dairy farms down there around Chino and that type of thing. And the smell down, well, when I was in 65 and went out there, I saw these big dairy farms down there, Long Beach. Then they moved them out to Chino. Now they've moved them up there.
By my house.
Yeah. And they moved a lot of them up there towards Brandon Holt House up there in the Central Valley.
Yeah. Some up there in Bakersfield too.
But those were like 5,000. This was 18,000 cows died.
So I got
I played a clip of the cows mooing as they were dying, but I kept thinking like, we kill that many babies in an abortion every 4 days in America and nobody says anything. And we get upset about the cows.
We
forget about the silent voices of the children being aborted.
The cows. So now we also have them saying we can't eat cows. Let's kill the cows. Now this is interesting here. So, you know, where I live, John, and I've come to be friends with some farmers through church and through this ministry. And I was sent a text message about the Texas, this farm and these 18,000 cows. And it was disturbing. They explained to me.
Oh, wait a minute. I thought you were going to give me good news.
No, it's disturbing.
No, now you're depressing.
Oh yeah. It's,
I
they
just
explained
kidding.
To me there's absolutely no way that this could have possibly happened the way the media has been trying to spin it. And they told me why. I don't want to go any further into it than that, but it makes the whole thing troubling when we see all these different things happening. And, you know, you think of Jonah, you know, God, what's God say with Jonah? Hey, Jonah, don't you know, those who are down there in Nineveh don't know the right hand from the left? And there are many cattle there. God cares even about the animals. And, you know, it's the whole thing's horrific. And we don't care about aborting babies. We don't care about anything, but this is evil. And
right.
I don't know. I have enough things that are going on in my head to think these things are intentional too.
So, you know, it's interesting you mentioned that Charles Atkinson, our pastor, just went to, he was in Israel, on a tour and then he's from England. So he stopped and went to London and went to the British Museum. And by the way, if you ever go there, there's a good book you should buy called The Bible and the British Museum, The Bible in or The Bible and the British Museum, because there's a tremendous number of artifacts there. So when we were there a few years ago, they were just opening in their Assyrian section. You know, they have all these reliefs that they brought back from Assyria that I don't know how they have them now. They're probably going to have to give them back, but it's sort of like somebody really wanted to bring those to England and put them in a museum. I mean, they're huge. I mean, I'm sure you've seen them or maybe you haven't, but they take up rooms. But it's all these different, it's Sennacherib and all these biblical characters. And they were starting a new exhibit called Ashurbanipal. I am king of Assyria. I am king of the world. It was just kind of an interesting, you know, when you sort of put it into an in-kind context and you know, we read the verses in Isaiah about the Assyrian comes into the land. I'm just telling you, Tom, there's so many things that we're seeing happening and coming to the fore and converging and accelerating and all these things. It's just absolutely mind blowing.
And everything is excelling and it's so many different things are converging. Pretty much everything seems to be converging. We've only gone through 3 of the 6 post GPT, world.
Can I just summarize what they are, the last 3?
Absolutely.
content authentication. With all this creation, we're going to need to authenticate not just what humans make, but what AIs make as well. And it's difficult already. I mean, I've seen these videos. I saw this video that AI did. And we know there's a lot of bad people in power. What do you think is going to happen in the 2024 election in a year with all of these tools? I don't know.
I've been wondering that myself. What do you trust? Who do you trust? Can you trust anything? We already know we can't trust most of the people that seem to be in power. I'm looking going, yeah, content authentication. How do you, authenticate?
Right. And then it says here, then the next one, number five, is knowledge work replacement. All these people who work in knowledge, what are you going to do with them? I mean, are we just going to put them in a place and give them internet access and videos? And I think in that Beyond the Reset video, the guy, he was ordering movies, you know, select a movie to watch. Yeah. And he says, I want to watch The Godfather. I'm sorry, that contains Italian stereotypes. Well, how about Pulp Fiction? No, that's too violent. Okay, how about 1984? And it says that 1984 does not exist. And it's a brilliant little piece, I think.
It is.
It really ticks some people off, though, that I played it. And then finally, the last thing in this article was the creativity explosion. And he says, and this is the one that gives me the most hope. And I'm not sure why, after all these other ones where he's sort of this dystopian future that he's looking at in the DanielMeisler.com article. It's like, I don't think this gives hope to me. It's too troubling. It's troubling to even people who have no knowledge of Jesus or anything like that. So Jesus is our hope. That's our anchor. That's our rock. But it's, you know, we hear, you know, I know Jan says it. I never thought I'd see the day. And the answer is I never thought I'd see the day either. I mean, it's happened. The phrase I use from the old Hemingway knowledge, you know, how did you go bankrupt? Well, two ways, gradually, then suddenly.
Yeah, gradually, then suddenly.
And so that's sort of where we are, because this Bible prophecy thing, I think this is how it unfolds. It unfolds gradually, then suddenly.
And right now it seems to be picking up speed. At least all of the pointers, I should say.
Right.
I think of Luke chapter 21, you know, you mentioned our hope is in Jesus, where Jesus says men's hearts will fail them from the fear and expectation of the things that are coming upon the earth. This is one of them. In fact, this one right now that we've been talking about today seems to have created a different fear in people. And quite frankly, John, I think it should. If a person doesn't know Christ, you should be troubled by what is coming. So much so that these great men of the earth, the merchants of the earth, the Elon Musk, Steve Wozniaks, Yuval Noah Hararis, they're troubled by what they say is coming. That should give pause to every person that's out there that just, that isn't in that field and recognizes this is what these guys are telling us. They've invented Frankenstein is what's happened. And Frankenstein, seems to be waking up, and this Frankenstein ain't going back on the table. It doesn't appear.
It does not. You know, there was a movie made a number of years ago about a dystopian future by Steven Spielberg called Ready Player One. And what it was they had these trailer parks that were sort of vertical trailer parks where people lived. They were given a basic income and food. And they had virtual reality glasses and everything to, you know, do things virtual reality on the internet and everything. And this has got to be pushing 8-9 years since this movie came out. Interestingly enough, it was set in Columbus, Ohio, where I live. And it was not a very upbeat movie, but look, we have much better hope than that as Christians, but. You know, until then, there's some issues that we're going to have to deal with, and God will get us through it. But I think it's okay to be distressed a bit by this stuff because it's happened so quickly and it's happening so quickly. Tom, you know, we've been doing this off and on for like a year now. We weren't even talking about this a year ago.
Yeah.
Now we're talking about it almost every time and just barely scratching the surface.
We can't escape. We can't escape from John. There's so much more I want to ask you about. And I know we'll be doing a lot more together. I want to, you know, we'll pick up from here, but I think, you know, again, we look at the Bible. We are told to not be afraid over and over and over again. Do not fear. And right after Jesus says, hey, men's hearts will fail them from the fear of what's coming and expectation. So they're expecting it. That's what these guys are doing. They're expecting it. What's coming upon the earth. He says, he reminds us, nevertheless, when you see these things begin to take place, look up, lift up your head because your redemption draws near. If you're in Christ, our hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ, but he warned us, didn't he, John? He warned us, this is the way things are going to look. And I'm telling you, man, without the Bible, I'd be a mess. And watch, you know, I watched that video. I'm still looking forward to watching your April 16 video, but the Great Reset animated video, it's a little bit unnerving if you're not ready for it, but you can see, I could see that happening after the rapture. Will it get that bad before? Some of my friends think it will, but still our hope is in heaven. And, but man, praise the Lord. He gave us his word to guide us.
You know, Tom, there was this is not something that's new with the current coalition that's running the government in Israel. There was in the right wing coalition in some of the, ultra orthodox parties, there was a bill introduced to ban the sharing of the gospel in Israel. And this is not new. This has been going on for 25 years. The bill never gets anywhere. I don't think it has support, but let's say it's enacted. How should we respond? And I thought about that. Now, look, it's easy to be bold and brave when you're not going through it. Okay. But my reaction was, okay, if that's what they're going to put in place, then I think I need to go buy a ticket to Israel. And if I get thrown in jail, then I know I have a captive audience to share the gospel with.
Amen. I love that.
What are they going to do? Put me in another jail?
Well, I mean, you read the stories, right? I mean, we read those throughout other parts of the world where that is already a reality and things that have happened in history. Hey, the Apostle Paul went through it. Throw me in jail. All right. There's going to be converts. Well, move me to another one. Hey, more converts. Yeah. But that is that right mindset too. I think of Revelation chapter 12, they overcame him, the devil, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. They did not love their lives unto death. Hey, when we're over here, when we're done here, we're going to be in the presence of the Lord forever. And we have I think it's that a mind shift like what you just said, John, is what needs to take place in the Western world. Is we've got to start thinking about things different.
Those cows that burned alive in Texas was disturbing to a lot of people. I got a lot of emails about that. Oh, please. I couldn't listen to that. I couldn't watch that. But you know what I was thinking about? I was thinking about the jihadis who locked Nigerian Christians in churches and set them on fire.
Yep.
But you know what? Do you remember the scene where they took the guys out to the beach?
Yes. And they beheaded them on the beach. In the orange jumpsuits.
Yeah. Yeah. And so immediately when people thought about that, they were like, well, those are Coptic Christians. They're not really Christians. They have bad doctrine and that type of thing. And I'm like, but the universal testimony was that as they were dying, they were saying the name of Jesus. And that's the critical thing was, so maybe they had a whole life of bad doctrine. Yeah. What were they relying on at the end?
Amen.
And what were they looking to? And was God glorified in their death? And I would say absolutely no question.
Amen. John, that's great. It's been great with you today. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Tom.
Closing out our time the way you just did. What an encouragement.